Good morning again. My name is Carol Duty. It's wonderful to be here today. I know many of you, but for those that I don't know, my husband Michael and I, with my children Christopher and Caitlin, attend the Westbury campus. I'm not a pastor here. I have a full-time job in Manhattan. I'm just someone who's really blessed to be able to come up here and just speak of some of the things that the Lord has put on my heart through his word, which I love so very dearly. I really speak maybe 3-4 times a year, either here at Westbury and our Syosset campus, and I always find it incredibly interesting the topics that Steve Tomlinson, our head pastor, gives me. It always seems like he gives me the things that really pierce my heart and really make me think about myself and what to speak on. I pray fervently on what the Lord would like you to hear, but it seems like everything he has for you, he has for me too. So that's really encouraging. So we're starting a new series today called Not Offended. And again, I can be offended all the time. So I knew when Steve had emailed me about this topic that I was in a good place. So one of the things I needed to do when researching about how not to be offended is to think of all the things that offend me. So just yesterday, I was in Florida. Actually, I got home about 9 o'clock last night from a wake that I needed to go to for a family member. And some of the family members that I saw, is there a lot of feedback or is it me? Sorry, maybe you can. That's okay, Linda. Thank you. Sure, it's my earrings. I'm getting satellite or something. You know, it's okay. So I saw a lot of family members that I really hadn't seen in a long time, but I felt like I had just seen them. Of course I did, because I love Facebook. I'm sorry, I do. I love to see what people are doing and where my family is and all the great trips they're taking. But I'll be honest with you, sometimes Facebook offends me. Sometimes the language, and I'm no wallflower, but sometimes the language catches me off guard as I'm just scrolling through all innocently, or that some politics come up, and, you know, it's pretty innocuous, but I just get to unfollow them, which is really cool. I just get to check out of their feed, and I don't have to deal with it. But I have to be honest with you. There are times when I get offended, and I get a little crazy. You know, I really get heated up. Anybody in this room ever get that way? Okay, I'm glad I'm not alone. I get heated up, and I'd love to share an example with you. So I'm actually pursuing my master's in seminary, and one of the classes I'm taking is actually with Steve Tomlinson right in Port Jefferson. I'm taking a master's class in Bible study and preaching. So I'm coming home one Saturday, just last Saturday, a matter of fact, and I'm driving on the Northern Parkway. And I have a 2003 Volkswagen Bug. It's parked right outside, little blue thing. I had the top down. I have my SRC sticker on the back. I'm blasting K-Love, and I'm driving along. It's a beautiful day, and this, like, hot rod pulls up next to me. And so I sit up a little straighter, you know, I have my 120,000-mile car, you know. So this Charger Camaro, I mean, it was stunning, you know, pulls up next to me, and we're kind of next to each other, like, you know, I drive a stick, so I'm like really racing it, thinking I'm driving a Porsche, you know. And so it so happens that a car was in front of this Camaro or Charger in the right lane. So the person, I don't know if it was male or female, tinted windows, came right in front of me and, you know, needed to, and they cut me off, and no blinker, cut me off, and now I'm angry, right? So the person pulls back into the right lane, but I see up ahead they're going to have to get over again in my lane. So what do? I nail it, and I'm literally driving about 4 feet from the car in front of me doing like 80. I didn't even know my car could do 80 on the Northern State. And that was me. Are you here? Yay! I'm sorry, mea culpa. And I was flying. And then all of a sudden, it hit me. I said, Carol, are you willing to risk your life over this offense? Like, what has gotten into you? And maybe you're not willing to risk your life over an offense, but are you willing to risk your job? You know, maybe something happened with your boss, the way they spoke to you, and you're willing to quit over the offense. A relationship that you have, maybe a friend you haven't spoken to in 30 years because they said something that offended you. I dare say, do we risk our marriages over an offense and the death of our marriage because of that offense? Or with your children? I don't know about you, but by the 10th time I'm telling my kids to get off their iPhone, I'm offended. Am I willing to risk my relationship with my kids? Today we're going to look at Mark 6, and the folks in Mark 6 had Jesus in their presence. the Messiah, the coming King, was in their presence, but they were so offended that they missed out on all that he had for them. So today, as we just spend a little time together, my hope is that maybe, just maybe, we can take a look at some of the offenses in our own lives that have prevented God from doing the things in your life that he would love to do. And maybe give you some tools, because I hate to tell you, you're always going to be attacked by an offense. It's the world we live in. We're humans, there's conflict. But how we deal with that offense, is there a little something we can put in our toolkit that the Bible teaches us how to navigate being offended, getting rid of the offense, and walking in the fullness that Jesus has for you? So as we turn to Mark 6, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by his disciples. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were amazed. "Where did this man get these things?" they asked. Pretty decent question. "What's this wisdom that has been given to him? What are these remarkable miracles he is performing?" All reasonable questions. But then it comes. "Isn't this the carpenter guy?" Right? Could you hear it? All of a sudden, "Isn't this the guy that has that other job? Like, how is he doing these things? Isn't this Mary's son and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? Aren't his sisters here with us?" Can't you hear it? Can't you hear the indignation? Can't you hear them questioning his lineage? Like, how could be this the same guy that's doing these miracles? And what was the result? They took offense at him. And Jesus speaks up. He says to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives, and in his own home." Unfortunately, there was a consequence for the offense that these folks took of Jesus. Jesus could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He was amazed by their lack of faith. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I read this, I was pretty judgmental of these people. I'm like, really? Over his job title? Over his lineage? You had the Messiah there and you just like couldn't get over yourself? But see, we have the benefit of the resurrection. We have the benefit of Easter morning. We know we're the Monday morning quarterbacks. We know he is who he says he is. We know he died and was raised from the tomb, from the grave. We know that. These folks didn't know that. So I had to think a little bit, and maybe you do too, about all the offenses that you have in your life. I like to look at the definition of offended: resentful, annoyed, upset, insulted, affronted, aggrieved, displeased. I think I had all of these this morning on the way to church, by the way. Wounded, disgruntled, put out, annoyed, angry, cross, exasperated, indignant, irritated, and the list goes on. But what's the result of all of that happening in your life? What is the result of those offenses? Little, small, adding up. Did everyone get an acorn this morning? If you don't, the ushers can bring you one. But see, there's an amazing thing about this little acorn. This little acorn can grow into that big oak tree. If left in the right environment, I picked these acorns up out of my driveway about a week ago, and some of them had actually sprouted a root already because it was in the warm, fuzzy environment of my house, and it actually sprouted a root. What I found interesting about these acorns as I picked them up in my backyard is there were thousands of them. And as I was picking them up, the Lord was giving me, isn't this like life? Thousands of these coming at us over our lifetime. And as I went out and I picked them up, the acorns were coming off the trees and hitting me. And I was thinking, even as I pick up the offenses and try to deal with them and throw them away, more are coming at me. And then the next morning, I went out in the driveway. I said, oh, there's probably not any more acorns, but I'll take because I needed hundreds of them. And guess what? There were hundreds of acorns back in my driveway. And there were even acorns on my portico, which is covered. And it's like three steps up. And I said, how did the acorn get up there? You know what happens? They bounce so hard that they were on my portico. And that reminds me of when we pick up an offense for somebody else. I don't know about you, but I have those friends who are just so nice. And I'm like, aren't you mad? Like, I'm trying to get them mad because it offended me. And those are the ones up on the portico. And some of them are in all different stages. Some of them are little and cute. Some of them have the root out of it. But they all end the same way, guys. They all end the same way. And Mark 6 tells us how it ends. He could not do any miracles there because their offense led to their unbelief. He was able to lay hands on a few sick and healing, but look at that word, except. It means limited. Jesus was limited in what he could do. And I think we can all agree that we don't want Jesus to be limited in our lives. We don't want to create a hindrance in our lives. We want to have freedom to its fullest that Jesus can give us. And so it reminded me when I put on these sneakery type things, and I'm going to put the acorn in my shoe. And it hurts. Thank you, it does hurt. I know some think the high heels are worse, but trust me, this is worse. I have the acorn in my shoe, and I can walk over here, and I can get through the sermon, and I can talk to you, but I'm telling you, my foot hurts. As I walk over here and I talk to you, I'm like, okay, but I feel it. That's what the offense is like in your spirit, that you don't let go or that you allow in the first place. So I'd like to just go over quick 5 points that I think might help us either keep the offense at bay from the get-go or release the offense once it has taken hold in us. The first thing is to choose to not be offended. I know that's earth-shattering, right? Choose not to be offended. Ephesians tells us to get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Ladies and gentlemen, being offended is your choice. You can choose to be offended or you cannot choose to be offended. I know it's hard, but it is not impossible. One of the best books I ever read was called The Bait of Satan. It's probably one of the top 5 books up there with the Bible, The Purpose-Driven Life, The Shack. It's right up there. And this book is all about being offended. If you're prone to being offended, this is the book for you. And John Brevere has a great quote in it. Excuse me. In the last days when many are offended and filled with hate and betrayal toward one another, I refuse to join them. I will commit to living my life in such a way that the agape love of God, which has been poured out in my heart, will radiate in this darkened world of offense. What John is saying is, it will come, but we are meant as believers of Jesus Christ to be a light in the world that doesn't know any better. Because I hate to tell you, but offended people love company. They want to get you involved. When you're in the office and someone's chitter-chattering about the boss and they're offended by the boss, trust me, they want to hook you in. The second thing is to choose to love. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I wouldn't look to the world or to Wikipedia or Google the word love. I would look right in 1 Corinthians 13. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no records of wrong. When I was on my way back from Florida, you know, they say Disney is the happiest place in the world. I'll tell you right now, the Orlando airport is not. There's a lot going on in that airport. But what was amazing to me is the woman behind me, and if you're here today, let me know, the woman behind me hated everything that was going on in that airport. She hated that people couldn't follow rules. She hated the line. I think she hated me because I had to unload my laptop and my shoes and unpack, and I'm just, you know, kind of hurrying along, and she's bashing into those white, you know, those clear buckets you have to put your stuff in, and she's hitting them, shoving me, and I'm like, I just need to pray. Can I lay hands on you? I need to pray for you. Like, I thought the amount of energy, the exhaustive energy she was spending on hating. I'm like, if you loved instead of hated, you'd be the next Beth Moore. You'd be so on fire for God, we wouldn't know what to do with you. So we can choose to love. We can choose to be humble. The greatest among you will be your servant, for those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted, Matthew 23. You know, a big part of being offended is our pride. I don't know about you, but when I pull up to the mall and I see a spot I want, that's my spot. And when someone comes zipping along and gets in my spot, oh, I can get pretty indignant. That's my spot. I deserve that spot. I've been waiting for that spot. And then that offense could stay with me all day. And then I'm crabby to my kids, I'm crabby to my husband, because my pride is saying, I deserve better. I don't know about you, you can be in a coffee shop and the waitress just took too long to get your coffee, and you're offended. Service, I'm paying the bill, right? I'm offended. I deserve more than this. Choose to be humble. Choose to be humble. Choose to forgive. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. Colossians 3:13. Let that sink in. Forgive as you have been forgiven. I don't know about you, but I know exactly where I would be without the grace of God. Can you think about that? Now, I grew up bad home situation, alcoholic, abusive father. My mother left when I was 5. On welfare, I'm a high school dropout. I have a college degree and a law degree, but I'm a high school dropout. God does great things. He does great, great things. I know where I would be if it wasn't for the grace of God. I'd probably be on the street. I probably would be dead if it wasn't for the grace of God. Do you think anything you face today, that you faced yesterday, that you encountered 30 years ago that offended you, is beyond the grace that God has shown you? We're not meant to be reservoirs of his forgiveness and his grace. We are meant to be conduits of it. He pours into us his loving grace, and we're meant to give it to others. You may be the grace, the only grace that people ever see, because they don't know Jesus. I once heard that out of 100 people, what does it say? 99, one will read the Bible and 99 will read you. They're looking for Jesus in you. We need to choose to forgive those that offend us. If it happened this morning, if it happened 30 years ago, God wants you to forgive so you can move on in the fullness that he has for you. It's a great quote in How to Read the Bible for All It's Worth. It is our experience of God's unconditional, unlimited forgiveness that comes first, but it is to be followed by an unconditional, unlimited forgiveness of others. Lastly, number 5, let's choose not to retaliate. When they hurled their insults at him, this is Jesus, he did not retaliate when he suffered. He made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to who judges justly, 1 Peter 2:23. You know, my mother always taught us two wrongs don't make a right. And it's so easy when someone offends you to want to get even. And that might look different for everybody. It might be the silent treatment. It might be, my husband says, I don't need to say a word, it's all on my face. You know, I roll my eyes, I suck my teeth, or whatever that may look like. It's hard not to retaliate. Last night, my husband was picking me up from the airport. I was at LaGuardia. We live in Massapequa. My flight landed at 7. I had told him for 3 days, my flight landed at 7. I'll be at the airport at 7. I have no checked baggage. I'll be ready at 7. Michael, you heard me. I'm ready at 7, right? I call at 7:05. Hi, honey, where are you? I just got on the parkway. I had to take out my sermon and go, okay, which step am I going to use? And what did I want to do? I wanted to get in the car and be crabby and huff and puff and be like, oh, really? Come on, you knew I was going to be here at 7. But see, I have the acorn in my shoe, right? It's hurting my foot. I wanted to retaliate, but I had to look at my notes and say, maybe you shouldn't. Thank you for the material, Lord, but I'll not retaliate. And you might be thinking, this is impossible, Carol. Look at this. I have all these acorns in my pocket. This probably happened on the way to church this morning and on the way home. I'll deal with them too. You're thinking it's impossible, but I would encourage you this morning that it's not. because you're not depending on yourself. You're depending on an almighty God to help you. Where does our help come from? It comes from the Lord. You don't have to do this in your flesh. It's impossible. You're right. But not with God, because God is our refuge and our strength, an ever-present help in the time of trouble, the psalmist tells us. And then Hebrews says, let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. It's not easy. It's not easy to overlook an offense. It's not easy to unearth an offense that happened so long ago. But you know, like this acorn in my shoe, it's time to give it up. So I'd like you to take out your acorn, and for the next just 10 seconds, as the worship team comes forward, take a look at that acorn. What was that offense that happened this morning, yesterday? Maybe it happened a long, long time ago, and it's been hindering your faith walk. It's been hindering all that God wants to do in your life. Because what we're going to do this morning as the worship team comes forward is we're going to give you some time to come up and take that offense and drop it in the basket right here. Because the scripture we just read says we come boldly, confidently to the throne of grace. And this would be symbolizing the throne of grace. And you know, this morning I shared that my mom left when we were five, as I mentioned. And I really feel that I forgave my mom. I really do. But I never conquered step number five. I consistently retaliated with my mother. The way I talked to her, made her feel guilty. I'm 54, people. This is 49 years, and I'm not letting this go. And I know God wants to do something in my life. So this morning in the first service, I dropped it in the bucket. And what's interesting about it, suddenly this morning, my mom said, I want to come to church with you. I said, no, you can't. I'm talking about you. You can't come. My mother and I have a great relationship. It's by my mother's 80. By the grace of God, he's done like a miracle of forgiveness that only grace can provide, people. Let me tell you, when you got abandonment issues and you got all that nonsense going, it's no psychiatrist in the world, but from the grace of God. I was in therapy a long time. Therapists are great, no offense, but it really was God that did it. So I would love to tell you I forgive my mother and I drop it in the bucket, but guess what? I did it this morning. I don't got to do it again. I say got it because I'm from Brooklyn. But you know what? As I was preparing my message, there were two stories that the Lord had on my heart. The first one was about my mother, and actually during the first service, someone came to me and said her daughter was in the service and forgave her mother. So that story was for the first service. But now God, suddenly as I was sitting there, put another story on my heart. And if I had my phone, I would read you the text. My brother Tommy died of alcoholism and drugs on Mother's Day this year, May 13th. About 6 weeks before that, and anyone here who has a relative who's an addictive person or just hasn't gotten their life together, be it finances or drugs or whatever it may be, we can get a little self-righteous. And I have a text message to my brother 6 weeks before he died, telling him he was a jerk, that I didn't want to deal with him, he wasn't welcome in my house anymore, that he needed to get help, that I just didn't want to be around him. Does that sound like step number three? Does that sound like love? And so as I was thinking about today, I thought, you know what? Tommy's gone. He's in the arms of the Lord, no longer offended by my selfishness. So this morning, the acorn that I'm throwing in the basket is the one how I offended myself. How when I think, I saw that text message on my phone, and as soon as I drop this in, I'm going to delete it. Because God is saying, Carol, I want you to be free. I don't want you to carry that around. Your brothers are in the arms of Jesus, but you're still walking the earth with this burden on you of how you treated a loved one that just wanted to be loved. My brother just wanted to be loved. So if you're here today, if that relative's dead or alive, take that part of you that wants to condemn them, that wants to be self-righteous, that wants to teach them a lesson, that wants to show them the way, even if you're saying it is clothed in love, but it's really not. It's clothed in pride. Take that acorn today, whatever that offense is that you have, and please join me this morning and throw it in the basket and be free for what God has to do in your life. Stephanie's going to lead us in song. I ask you to come up and throw your acorn in the basket, whatever it may be. Thank you, Jesus.
If they can move the mountains, let the mountains move, and we come with expectations.
Thank you, Jesus.
Waiting here for you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
You're the Lord of all.
Thank you, Father.
Creation.
Thank you, Jesus.
And still you know my heart.
Thank you, Jesus.
And the author of
we
salvation.
Thank you, Jesus, for the victory.
You blessed us,
Father God. We love
star.
You. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We just lay it all at your feet this morning, oh Father God. Whatever that offense is, that's just been that acorn in our shoe, dear Jesus. We want to live victorious and free in all that you have for us, oh Father God. We are no longer going to let these offenses, past, present, future, hinder us from all that you have for us, oh Father God. We just claim that this morning, dear Jesus. We thank you, Father God. Yes, Jesus. Freedom, freedom, dear Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. You are an awesome God. You are an awesome God who understands every situation. You were there with us, oh Father God. You are with us now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you, Jesus. We just thank you, Father God, that we can claim victory in your name, that you died on the cross such a brutal death to set us free. Dear God, we pray that these offenses that just pepper us all the time, God, or these offenses from so long ago that have hindered our relationship with you. Yeah, we were able to walk around with the acorn in our shoe, oh Father God, but not be able to run the race that you have called us to run. I thank you for freedom today, oh Father God. I thank you for each person here that came forward just to throw that acorn away, just a physical symbolism of letting go and letting God. I thank you, Jesus. Amen. And for anyone here who just felt it was too bold to actually walk up to a basket, you know, the baskets that we have for the acorns are out in the lobby. Just throw it in on your way out. Just throw it in on the way out. Just let it go, whatever it is. He has amazing, brilliant restoration in store for you. You take these five tools and throw them in your toolbox and just let God do an amazing... I'm so excited for you because God is just with you. He loves you. He wants so much for you. And we have made an affirmation today that we don't want to lose out on a single solitary thing. Amen.